Can we maybe move closer to each other? You don't have to sit all in one block, but if you can just from the outside, maybe just come closer, because it looks like we cross with each other. Now I'm feeling much better. Thanks, Reynold. Yeah, I think it's this time of year normally when we look back at the year, and maybe for some of us, you look back and you're really pleased. If you look at the year that's behind us and everything you did or accomplished, or maybe things that happened, that kind of stuff, you look back and you think it was a good year and you're happy with the things you did and the things that happened and so on. But also, I think maybe for some of us, even you know, the same people, we feel that we look back and in a way it's like you're a little bit disappointed. You know, it's like everything didn't went that smoothly. You were hoping for something different. And things is not the way you wanted it to be. You know, this kind of year, they say normally, this is the time of year there's the most suicides. And the reason for that is people look back and then they're not happy with what they accomplished. And oh, the light is fine, you can leave it off. But I think also if we look back, I don't know if it's the same with you guys, but if I think back at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, there was all those things that I thought, okay, this year I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do that thing, or I'm starting off with this or with that. And, you know, some of those things you started off with, and you look back now and you say, okay, but somewhere during the year you stopped to do it. Or it just didn't happen anymore. And maybe some of those things, you had all those good intentions about it. But looking back, that's all it was good intentions. Because you never did something about it. I don't know if it's only me, or maybe some of you as well. But I think if you look back and you think about it, there might be different reasons why we didn't finish the things that we've started, or what we decided we wanted to do. The first thing, I've got this three reasons here, there might be more, but the first one is maybe you got tired. Whatever it is you decided to do, maybe you just got tired and stopped doing it. The second thing is maybe you got too busy with other things. Because a lot of times we start off with something, and then there's all these other things coming into our lives, and we just get too busy to finish what we've started. And then the third one is maybe you were hurt by someone or disappointed by someone. Maybe even our expectations of someone was very high, and because they couldn't meet that, we stopped going to cell group or doing something. Understand what I'm saying? There might be different reasons why we stop doing things. And I think what's important for us is if we look back is to realize that sometimes it's okay not to let go of things. Sometimes I think it's actually important to look at what we're busy with and to make a decision and to say, okay, I'm leaving this. I'm not going to carry on doing this thing because I rather want to focus on other things. I think sometimes that's important. But also I think sometimes it's important for us to finish what we've started. And in the end of the day, we should ask the question, is this what I'm busy doing? Or maybe if we look back now, is the stuff that we did through the year and the stuff we let go of, is that stuff that was it good to let go of it? Or should it, or would it have been better if I just pushed through, if I just carried on with that? So we must ask the question, the things that we do, is it really important for us to do it or not? And the scripture, I think, that really helps us to define whether the things we're doing, whether it's important or not important, is Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Just before that, it talks about food and clothing and the stuff that we need. So he's saying, if you focus on my kingdom, Matthew 6:33, these other things will be added to you. Because you see, what happens a lot of times is we decided on doing certain things because we want to accomplish something. And then we can't always push through. We can't always endure what we start to do in the beginning. But we should ask ourselves the question, is this thing that I'm doing, am I building God's kingdom with this or not? Because often if we rather focus on the other things, it's not sustainable. It just won't last. And just a small testimony from my side is, I started off with doing hood work. I had to work out now. It was 23, 24 years ago. I started off doing hood work. And I did it for a lot of years. I got saved about 15 years ago. I got saved. And about 4 years ago, I went into full-time ministry, where I had to make a decision whether I want to continue with the hood work or not. But what happened there is I decided, but I'm going to put God's kingdom first. I don't believe everyone is necessarily called for full-time ministry, but I felt that God said you need to make a decision whether you're going to take this hood work and build this thing or whether you want to focus on my kingdom because that's where I want you. And I had to make a decision. And back then, what I did is I brought my brother into the business and I told him in the beginning, I can't focus on this anymore. I need to focus on something else. I need to build this other thing that this is what God has laid on my heart. So for many years, I've worked and built on this thing around my woodwork, trying to build up that business. And about 4 years ago, I came to the point where I said, Lord, I believe you want me there, so I'm going to focus here and I'm going to leave that one side. And the funny thing that happened is in the last 4 years, there was more growth in our businesses than in all the almost 20 years before that. But you see, that's Matthew 6:33. First seeking the kingdom of God and all the other things will be added onto you. So often, I think in life, you know that saying where it says that, in Afrikaans, it's ver van jou goed, na aan jou skade. What's it in English? If you're not focusing on something, it's going to die. Something like that. But in kingdom, it actually works the other side around. Because in kingdom, what you see is you focus on God's kingdom and the other things in your life, they don't die or disappear. If you're really focusing on God and His kingdom, what actually happens is the other things start to grow. The other things start to change. And if I look back at my life and the things that happened, what I can testify is that I did not build what was created in my life, God did. But I believe it happened because of focusing on God. So the question was, what is really important? And the answer to that simply is God's kingdom. Because all the other things that we built, in the end, will go away. It will fade away. But His kingdom will last forever. And therefore, the most important thing for us to do is to focus on His kingdom and to build His kingdom. And God knows our hearts. He knows the things that we need and all of that. So He will always look after us. But we shouldn't be so focused on that, that we put His kingdom second. Another scripture I want to read is Numbers 32, verse 11 and 12. There's a couple of scriptures I want to go through this morning. Numbers 32, verse 11 and 12. Surely none of the men who came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. None except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So what God is saying here is there is this group of people, a lot of people, they left Egypt, went into the desert, and from there they went to the promised land. But what God is saying is not all of them will go into the promised land. Only those people that really seek Him. And He is talking about Joshua and Caleb there. He's saying they will see the promised land. They will go into the promised land. But not all of them. And something we, I think that's important for us, we need to learn out of this piece of scripture. Remember, we're talking about the things that we've started and we didn't necessarily finish it all. Where we didn't endure everything we had to complete things. And what we see in this part of scripture is we see a lot of people leaving Egypt, going into the desert, going to the promised land, but not all of them going in. And I think what's important for us to learn out of this piece of scripture, if we think about it, is I think especially us as Christians, we've got this thing where we say, but now I've made a decision for Christ that many years ago. So I chose to leave Egypt, and I'm going into the desert. I am going to the promised land. But because I made that decision, I'll get to the promised land. But this scripture tells a different story. Because what the scripture is saying is, no, it's not enough only to make a decision at some stage of your life. What is also important is the journey. What happens on that journey? What happens when that moment comes when you meet with God? Where are you at that stage? Because that determines whether you're going into the promised land or not. And I know as Christians, we want to believe something else. Because what we say, but no, there's grace. But grace doesn't work that way. You see, grace is I can leave Egypt. I can go into the desert. And as I carry on and walking, doing this journey in the desert, a lot of times I get to that place where I realize, but I'm missing God. I've got no relationship with God. There's nothing going on here. And I can say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm missing you. I just want to get back to you. And grace is in that moment, God will say, my son, it's fine. I receive you back. That's grace. Grace is not just making a decision sometime in your life and say, okay, now I can live whatever way I want and I'll get into the promised land. And we see it in this Old Testament scripture. It wasn't enough just to leave. The important thing was that journey. And especially, I think, that time where we meet with God, where are we at that stage? And therefore, it's important for us to always make sure that our lives is in the right place with God. Another scripture I want to share is Acts 1, verse 14 and 15. Acts 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, this is where the people, they are waiting in the upper room for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. So what it says is, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. So you've got a group of people devoting themselves to prayer for what? For the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How many were they? Scripture says about 120. So you've got 120 people in the upper room devoting themselves to prayer, waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see it? Next chapter, Acts 2 verse 14. Just after the Holy Spirit was poured out. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Standing there with the 11. So 120 people in the beginning, 120 people were standing together, devoting themselves to prayer, praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the next chapter, where the Holy Spirit was poured out, there was 12 people in the room. Where's the other 108? 108 people left that room. What was going on that was more important than that? I think if we think about it, maybe they got tired. Or maybe they got busy with something else. You see, maybe someone disappointed them. You understand what I'm saying? It's because they were standing in that room waiting. Maybe things weren't going as smoothly as they wanted. Maybe they felt, but Jesus is taking a little bit long now. And they decided to leave. But the point is, in the end of the day, whatever the reason is why they left that room, that's the reason why they missed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see, again, it wasn't enough for them just to be there in the beginning. The key is to endure. The key is to wait there till things happen. It's the same in our Christian life. The key is not just at some stage. It's important to say, yes, I give my life to Christ. It's important to get to that point in our lives. But that's not the beginning and the end. That's only the beginning. There's a lot that needs to follow after that. Another scripture, Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all of my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You see, a lot of times, I think especially even in churches, relationships isn't always that good. And even outside of church, there's a lot of, I almost want to say we get a lot of trouble from people because of the way we live. Because we're trying to be different. Because you see, as a Christian or a follower of Christ, we're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to look like the world. We are supposed to be different. God didn't make us to be ordinary. He made us to be extraordinary. To be like Him. So if the world look at us, they are supposed to see a difference. And a lot of times what happens is they do, and they get offended by it. Not necessarily by what we say or anything by that, like that, but they get offended about our lifestyles. And it's actually supposed to be like that. But it's not always easy. Because you see, what happens is a lot of times we give in. We don't endure to the end. But what God is saying is it's not enough just that you've made that decision somewhere in your life. What's important is that you endure to the end. Because we need to endure to the end to be able to be saved. Isaiah 40 verse 30 and 31. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall be exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm going to read 3 or 4 scriptures here. That one was Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 37, 34. Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. He will look on when the wicked are cut off. James 5 verse 7, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. See, in the end of the day, I think we come to this time of year and we look back. And what happens is, at some places we got tired. At some places we got busy, other things became more important. Or like I said, we've been offended with someone or something like that. But we need to ask ourselves the question, did I really endure? And the grace of God, what it means for us today, is that we can stand here and we can say, maybe yes, I did. Or maybe no, I didn't. Maybe we get to that place where we say, okay, I failed. I didn't make it. But by the grace of God, we are still here. And you see, by the grace of God, we still have that the time to make a decision and to say, Lord, I just want to get back to You. Lord, I just want to be back in Your presence. Lord, whatever I did this year that didn't succeed, I just give that to You. I'm not going to allow that to pull me down or anything like that. I choose to stand up. And you see, if we look back at the things we do, if we don't receive our strength from God Himself, we can't endure. And what it means is that the Matthew 6:33, the one we need to seek first is God. Because we can have all these different plans, all these different intentions of what we want to do. But if we don't have God, then He's not in it. And we can't succeed. Because you see, for only so long, we can try and do things in our own strength. And in the beginning, in our own strength, everything looks good. But the moment the year starts to carry on, the burden starts to become more heavy and more heavy. And then if it's not His strength, then we won't endure. Then we won't pull through. And I think what's important for us today is not to look back and be disappointed in ourselves, but to be able to look back and say, Lord, You are still here. Lord, by Your grace, I'm still here. And Lord, by Your grace, I've got another opportunity. And it's not only a thing about next year is a new year, a new year. But today is a new day. And you see, so often we make this mistake of thinking, okay, but next year. Today. You see, today we can make a choice to change things. Today we can make a choice to some of those things that we decided to leave behind, to pick them up again. And so I'm doing this again. Maybe for you it can be something personal. Or maybe it's something like cell group. Next year we're doing Bible school and a lot of those kind of things. That's the kind of thing that really let God's kingdom come. That's places we can go that helps us to draw closer to God, that teach us more about Him. And I'm not promoting Bible school or that kind of thing, but what I am promoting is a relationship with God, with the true living God. Because without Him, we can't succeed in anything. But I think the important thing is that God must become our strength. And the things we do, we mustn't do it out of our own strength. Because that won't last. Can we just close our eyes, please? Yes, thank You, Father, that we've come to the end of a year. Thank You, Father, that we can look back and, Father, whether we are happy with what happened this year or not, we can look back, Father, and we can say that, Lord, You've been with us. You've been there all the time. Father, maybe at some places we've neglected You. We've neglected our relationship with You. But, Father, by Your grace, even now, in this moment, we can turn back to You and we can just say, sorry, Lord, we've missed it. And You are here to receive us because You want a relationship with us. Father, You didn't create us so that we must die or be away from You. You created us to be with You. And we see that all through Your word. And thank You, Father, for this opportunity, therefore, to look back and to realize, Father, that we need You. Because, Father, we just want to say this morning, we really need You. Father, we can't do anything without You. Father, this burdens we sometimes we put on our shoulders, we can't do this without You. We need You to walk with us, Father, to help us, to guide us, to give us strength. And therefore, Father, my prayer for this morning is that we will put You and Your kingdom first, that we will first seek You before everything else. And while seeking You, Father, I know that everything else will come into place. So thank You, Father, for who You are. Thank You that You are a loving Father that wants a relationship with each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone. It was our last service for the year. So the next two Sundays, we won't have a service. There's coffee.